An insurgent had seen where they were firing, had snuck up next to the side of that building, pulled out a hand grenade, pulled it, and threw it up, and that thing came right up, boom, and hit Mike on the chest. Mike screamed, "Grenade out!" and jumped on it, and boom!
What do they teach us about a life well lived? I've noticed that the highest achievers aren't just driven, they're doing jobs so aligned with their passions that they have energy and inspiration to burn. Keep that in mind as you set your courses.
Once you think to yourself, what would you do? Petty Officer Mike Mansour took the entirety of that blast in his face and his chest. Now, because Mike was such a hard individual, he lasted for another 35 minutes before he passed away on the medevac route. Now, the kicker to this story, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Please listen. The kicker to this story is there was a stairwell right next to Mike, right next to him.
What we do determine completely is the way we treat the people in our lives. And in my experience, that also has immeasurably greater bearing on how we feel at the close of each day and at the curtain of each year. Within most of us, there's a conscience that's only at peace when we've behaved honorably and compassionately.
All he had to do was jump down that stairwell to save his own life, but he didn't. He turned and jumped on a grenade, sacrificing himself so his two brothers could both go home and hug their wives, kiss their children, and fight another day. Now I ask you, does that change your definite commitment a little bit? It has to, right? You can't not hear that story and not start thinking about, well, maybe I'm not defining commitment in the way I need to. Maybe I'm not applying the right energy.
What are your values? Because a lot of people will tell you what they think success is, but you have to define that for yourself. And once you define that for yourself, you can then begin your true vocation, your God-given purpose.
The tightest knots in my stomach come from the realization that I've been unkind, and the highest swells of my spirit come from the conviction that I've been tender and true.
For the past 20 years, I have been exploring the human condition around the world. But in that time, I spent 15 months in the frigid waters of the Pacific Ocean, to the mountains of Afghanistan on 7 different occasions, and to the shores of Haiti doing missionary work with my church. And what I've learned in this incredible journey are a few undeniable truths about what enables us to succeed. Now, truth number one is, you got fear in your heart always, and you can't defeat it. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, is you're wired for fear, right? You've got fear that's built into your little gray matter right up there like that, okay? In your gray matter, you've got this thing called the amygdala, and this amygdala is your fight or flight. So unless you remove that, you're going to have fear in your life, period. And we need it for survival. It's a good thing. The other challenge is you've been taught fear your whole life as well, too. We have that. It's part of our lives. We have it in what we do for a living, right? You guys get on your conference huddle calls and you talk about fear and dealing with clients. You talk about fear and meeting numbers. You talk about fear in your lives and your personal lives with your family. Folks, we've got fear, period. So what you have to learn to do is embrace it. Truth one. The second one is self-confidence is really important. Self-confidence is huge. It's important, and you got to forge it every single day. The third one is you got to live with purpose. If you don't have purpose in your life, you don't have momentum. You don't have anything driving you forward, anything pulling you out of bed every single day. You got to understand, who am I, why am I here, and what is my reason for living?
My mom and my dad were the biggest influences in my life. No one supported my athletic career more than he did. I got drafted to play baseball on June 8th, 2010. And the next night, my dad passed away. Before I walked through the door, I could see the EKG moving just fine. I take one step into the door and I say, "Dad, I'm here." The line goes flat. I miss my dad every single day. People have asked me, if I had 5 more minutes with him, what would I say to him? But I wouldn't say anything at all. I'd just hug him. That's what I'd do. Because that's the kind of relationship my dad and I had. He gave me so much, and maybe most of all, he gave me the gift of perspective. Losing him was hard, but thinking about him now, I don't feel sad. I feel blessed. I feel blessed for all the days we got together. I feel blessed because I know he's in a better place. And I feel blessed knowing that if he were here today, the thing that he'd most be proud of isn't a Super Bowl ring or a new contract or a big speech at Camp Randall. He'd be proud of my family, what a strong woman my mom is, about my brother and how well he's doing, about the amazing, amazing young woman my sister has become. That's what he'd be proud of. So that's my third charge to the graduates. And maybe it's the hardest one of them all. When life tells you no, find a way to keep things in perspective. That doesn't make the painful moments any less painful, but it does mean you don't have to live forever in the pain. You don't have to live forever in that no. Because if you know what you're capable of, if you're always prepared, and you keep things in perspective, then life has a way of turning a no into yes.
We all bleed red. What I care about is there's something that gets you out of bed every morning. There's something that you have faith in that's bigger than yourself. There's something that you're willing to sacrifice for another human being. That's powerful. Are you working on it? Are you working on it right now? Did you work on it today? Are you going to go work on it tonight?
The question isn't whether you have something to offer to the world. You definitely have something to offer to the world. The question is how and whether you'll do it. When life tells you no, stay ready. Always be ready.
The fact is, we've been quitting for a long time, folks. The problem is, I hope nobody has these grand quits in their life that they regret. But the reality is, we all quit every bit, a little bit every day. What you have to start doing is pulling those back a little bit, trimming them away and get rid of them. Whether you want a teammate needs your help, or you're going to be more positive when you interact with them, or they're looking for help and you don't tell them, "Well, I'm just too busy, I'll get back to you tomorrow." Those are forms of quitting, and that's not commitment to your team.
When you think about what's actually important in the world, when you're going out to pursue your vocation, it's who are you? Who do you want to be? And who can you help along the way? Asking yourself these questions will only help you to understand what you want to do.
Now, if my dad were here with us, this is the point where he'd remind us that potential just means we haven't done it yet. You know, he'd be right. But if we do what we need to when life tells us no, if we know what we're capable of, if we stay prepared no matter what, if we keep our sense of perspective even when times are tough, then I know that together we're going to do amazing things with our potential and achieve our greatest dreams. I would say good luck, but I don't believe in good luck. Go make it happen. This is my story. Now it's time to write your own.